Well, tonight I'm going to start something that I've never, ever done before. I'm going to start a series, a two-part series, never in all of my days. A two-part series. I'm going to start tonight, and then we'll do the next one next week. But the title of our series is Loving God. You know, when you love someone, you want to spend time with them, don't you? You love it. If you're married, you love spending time with your spouse or time with children, grandchildren, or extra specially fun. Love spending time with our friends. And you know, when you're separated from them, you miss them, don't you? Well, I tell you one other thing I love to do is I love to gather together with God's people to worship Him and tell Him that we love Him. That's a wonderful thing to do, telling God that we love Him all together. Well, it says in Mark chapter 12, Jesus is asked a question, and He's asked this question, which is the first commandment of all. He's asking, what's the greatest, what's the most important commandment from our God? And this is what Jesus said in Mark 12, verse 30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Now, wouldn't you think that these two verses are really important? And we want to understand these. We want to fulfill these two scriptures. It says in Matthew 22, talking about these two commandments, that all of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So when we do these two things, we're fulfilling all of the law of God. You know, you can say to God, I love you, but these are empty words without any kind of action. Right. You know, when we show God we love Him when we obey Him. You see, when we obey Him, this means something to God. When we spend time with Him, we're showing Him that we love Him, and it means something to our God. You see, when you love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, then you want to spend time with Him, just like you'd like to spend time with your friends and family. Well, for several weeks now, the Lord has been dealing with me about a message. And so the title of our message is Living in God's Presence. Living in God's Presence. Because we show our love to Him by choosing to live in His presence. In fact, I said next week we're going to show our love to God by learning how He wants us to love other people. But tonight it's going to be about living in God's presence. Well, I read this marvelous little book, this life-changing little book, and the title of it is The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence, a man who lived many, many years ago. And it's all about remaining in the presence of God all day long. I remember when I was a teenager, about 13 or 14, I remember being in church, and I remember the room I was standing in when I thought these thoughts, and that's a lot to say from that long ago. But I remember thinking, and when I thought, I wonder, should I be thinking about God all the time? Do other people do that? How would you go about doing that? And I remember just thinking those things in my mind. And I wish I could have had this little book to challenge me back then, but I'm challenged now, and I'm hopefully want to challenge you tonight to learn to live in the presence of God. Now, the Word of God tells us that we were created to have a relationship with our God and to live in His presence. Revelation 4:11, what does it say? It says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things. Why did He create all these things? For Thy pleasure are they and were created. He created us for His pleasure. He created us for His pleasure. And it's God's great pleasure that we learn to fully rest in His presence moment by moment, because He created us for His pleasure, and He created us to have fellowship with Him. I'm telling you, there is a way of living that's far higher and greater than most people have ever experienced. There's a place of rest and security, a place of adventure, a place of hope and great excitement that's beyond anything that this world has to offer. Where is this place? This place is in the presence of Almighty God. And you can enjoy His presence all by yourself. And you can enjoy His presence in the middle of a crowded room where everybody's doing all kinds of weird, odd things. But you can be sitting there enjoying the presence of God in a way that they would never be able to understand. Nothing compares to experiencing God's presence. That's why heaven is so great, because when we get there, we get to fully enjoy His presence. You see, we only get to understand a little bit of what it's like to be in His presence here, but there it's going to be so magnified, words cannot express it. I tell you, heaven on earth is walking and living in His presence. If you want to have a little heaven on this earth, learn to walk and live in His presence. Because I'm telling you what, life is short, eternity is long. Life is short. So let's begin to learn now how to live in His presence, to follow His leading and do things that count for eternity. You know, it's one thing to spend time with a friend, but it's a totally different thing to live with them, isn't it? You know, I enjoy having coffee with a friend, to go with a friend to some coffee place and I sit down and drink coffee. I love doing that, but you know, I don't want to live with them. Well, I live with my husband and have a privilege that we get to spend a lot of time together, but there are times we have to be apart. But you know, with God, He's always with me. I'm never apart from my God, and that's a wonderful thing. I want to say something. I want to pay really close attention because I've bolded this in my notes. Don't treat God like a friend you have coffee with sometimes. Right. I think we do that. Oh, come to church for a little bit here, get a little blessing here, and then we just go about our lives. Don't even think about Him until the next time we walk in those doors. Don't treat Him like somebody you have coffee with ever once in a while. See, when we live in God's presence, that is the best kind of life we can have on this earth. It's better than having lots of money. It's better than going on a fancy vacation. I love fancy vacations. It's better than being the best at something or achieving your goals. Living in God's presence, the world has nothing that can compare to it. His presence is truly a delight to our soul. Now, there's nothing wrong with those things. There's nothing wrong with having money and going on vacation and achieving your goals, but they just simply do not compare with God's presence. There's no comparison. So let me ask you, why would you want to live in God's presence? Because we love Him.
Yes.
Because we love Him. When you love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, you just long to be in that presence. I'm telling you, it's a fiery, passionate kind of love we're supposed to have for our God. Scripture describes it. It says in Luke 14:26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Isn't that strange? When you first read it, it seems to be a contradiction in Scripture. You're supposed to hate those things. But it's talking about, this means that our love for God in no way compares to anyone or anything else.
Right.
You cannot compare it, because our hearts just yearn to be with the one we love the most. And I want to be in God's presence, just so, not so I can get something from Him, but just because I love Him. You know, my morning devotion time when I get up each morning, that's the best part of my day. Absolute, the best part, because that's when I get to spend time alone with my God. That's when I get to read the Word and learn about Him. That's when I get to tell Him in prayer how wonderful He is and thank Him and praise Him for all the good things in my life. It's truly the highlight of my day. But you know, and when I finish that time, it's just so wonderful, and sometimes I can just weep just because the presence of God is so precious and wonderful. But you know, that's just the beginning. I get to be with Him all day. In Exodus chapter 33, it talks about Moses. Moses, that great man of God, who is the leader of God's people to bring God's people through the wilderness to the promised land. And Moses is speaking to the Lord in Exodus 33, verse 15. And this is the one thing that he said to the Lord. He said, then he, that's Moses, said to the Lord, so Moses said to the Lord, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. See, Moses didn't want to go anywhere without God's presence. He didn't ask for signs and wonders. He didn't ask for miracles. He asked God to show him the way and to lead him and stay with him all along that way. And God said that he would. But see, today, as God's children, we have God's promise that he'll lead us and guide us whenever we turn to him. The psalmist said in Psalm 16, verse 11, and this is speaking about the Lord, he says, "You will show me the path of life." There's the guidance. He will show you the path of life. "In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Because it's a wonderful thing to live and walk in the presence of Almighty God. And that's where we experience a joy this world cannot offer. I want to live in God's presence because I want to please him in everything that I do. When I live in his presence, then I have a greater chance of living in a way that pleases him. It protects me from falling into sin. 1 John 5:3, "This is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome." I like the way the Living Bible says. I just almost laughed when I read it. Loving God means doing what he tells us to do, and really, it isn't that hard at all. So we show our love by obeying him, and I want to obey God in everything. But you know, sometimes God asks me to do something that I don't want to do. I was telling my friend Heather before service that sometimes God has to slap me upside the head to get me to speak in front of people, you know. But sometimes he asks you to do something we don't want to do. But because I love him, I don't want to disappoint him. You know, growing up, I had a great dad, and I loved my dad so very much. And when I was 16, he bought me and my sister in 1976, yes, that's when I was 16, he bought me and my sister a brand new red Camaro. And back then, that was a pretty, pretty amazing thing. But he told me, "It's in a Carmen, don't be speeding when you drive that car." And so I remember one time, it was so vivid in my memory. We lived just right off of Crowley Road, and I would pull the car up to Crowley Road, and I'm fixing to take off, you know, to go to school, and it's a good distance to school. And as I'm sitting there, I just saw my dad's face, and I thought, I can't bear the thought of disappointing him. I can't bear the thought of speeding, getting a ticket, and having to show Dad that I did not obey him, and the disappointment that was on his face. And because of my great love for him and my respect for him, it kept my foot from being too heavy on that, what do you call that? The gas pedal accelerator, whatever it's called. Anyway. But see, we should be that way with our God. We love him so much. We don't want to disappoint him. Because we need to remember, no one loves you like he does. No one can do more for you than he has done. And no one can offer you what he has to offer you. I've often thought, you know, why does this sovereign God love me so much? Why does he care about my life? Why is my life important to him? You know, I'm nobody. The sovereign God, think about who that is. But the word of God tells us it's because God is love. 1 John 4:7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." See, that tells me that love, it comes from God. God is the source of all the love there is. That's just who he is. He is a loving God, and he loves his people. He loves his people, and he wants to have a relationship with you. Why should you choose to live in God's presence? Because of who he is. Because of what he has done. I have a list of things. Let's think about who this God is. I'm telling you, he is wonderful and he is amazing. He is our healer. He is beyond words. I mean, he cannot truly be described in words. We do the best we can with vocabulary, but there's no vocabulary on this earth that can truly describe who he is. He's loving. He is kind. He is merciful. Oh, aren't you glad he's merciful? He's gracious. He's compassionate. Perfect in everything that he does. He cannot lie. He always keeps his word. He's also eternal. He has all knowledge and he has all power. And let me tell you about his knowledge and about his power. Those things are limitless because he is a limitless God. He has all power. His power is never used up. Think about when he created, spoke the worlds into existence, he still had all the power. When he made the Red Sea part so that the Israelites could walk right through the middle of it, his power was not diminished in any way because it's limitless. That means his love is limitless. He's faithful always. He's always good and just and holy. He's our sovereign God. And what did this wonderful, awesome God I'm talking about do? He sent his one and only Son to put on human flesh, to walk this earth, to die for us, to hang on that cross, to pay the penalty for my sin, to pay the penalty for your sin, so that we can become his children and live with him eternally forever. Now, that's the God that we love. That's why we want to live in his presence. So ask yourself, do I really love God that much? Do I really love him with all my heart above everything else? I don't know about you, but I want to learn to love God more. I want to have a deeper love for him. And how does this happen? It happens as I choose to dwell and live in his presence. And when I'm in his presence, I learn to know him more. And as I get to know him more, I love him more. And as I love him more, then I want to be in his presence. And it goes all over again and over again. What does it mean then? I'm talking about living in God's presence. What does this mean? That means we just want to keep our mind on him, that he's always in our thoughts. So let's not make it complicated. Living in his presence, we're keeping our mind on him. And we try to always keep it in our thoughts. It says in Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. See those key words? He stayed on you and trusts in you. You see, the result of keeping our mind on the Lord and choosing to trust him with our lives is a life of peace. Living in God's presence means being constantly aware that he is with you. It says in Hebrews 13:5, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So he's always with me. So we need to include him in everything that we do, every decision we make. Because, you know, life is just a series of choices and decisions we make every day. And I want to make sure that I'm making the right choices so that my life means something, that my life has purpose. So why not ask the all-knowing, all-powerful God, what should I do? It says in Psalm 16:8, I have set the Lord always before me because I set the Lord always before me. What does that mean? He's always on my mind. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. See, when he's right there with me and when I keep him on my mind, that's a place of stability and strength. He gives, I shall not be moved. So I can live a life of stability and strength. What Psalm 121:5, the Lord is your keeper. He is the shade at your right hand. That's close. That shade right here, like a shadow right there. I love to think about this verse when I walk in the morning. I try to walk almost every morning up and down my street. Up and down my street I go. And it's wonderful to walk like a walk with the Lord. I love that time walking with the Lord and admiring the beauty of his creation and talking with him and speaking to him. He's right there. He's that shade, my right hand while I'm walking. Why would you not want to be in his presence? Why not? There's a song. I'll try to sing it without crying. Just the chorus. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Such joy in God's presence. If you haven't ever experienced that, oh, such pleasures are there for you to discover with our Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. So I've got to be able to see here. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded, keeping your mind on the Lord,
To be spiritually minded is life and peace. See, when we're spiritually minded, we were listening for this voice and we're following his leading. That gives us life and peace. But the carnal mind, in other words, worldly way of thinking about life, is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh, thinking the carnally, earthly ways, we can't please God that way. I tell you, living in the flesh is doing what you want without any regard for what God wants you to do. Remember, if he is your Lord, that means he's your master. And oh, what a wonderful life he'll lead you to. So the challenge tonight, that you know this as a Christian, in the Christian life, is learning to dwell completely in the Lord's presence. And I'm telling you, it's a lifelong endeavor. Think about this. What makes people afraid to make that kind of a commitment? A commitment to allow God to direct your every part of your life. What makes people afraid to do things? Well, I think one thing is people are afraid that if they do that, then they're not going to be able to keep doing something that they want to do.
Right.
And, you know, if that's true, then maybe there's something you need to let go of. Maybe you need to examine your heart. And you may, and this is kind of tough, but you may love other things more than you love Jesus. Or maybe you just simply don't trust him with your life. You think your way is better. Have you ever thought your way was better than what God wants you to do? I have. I put my hand way down here. If you've been a Christian, you've thought that at times. You thought, well, I'm a God now, you know, let's do this instead. But, you know, we have to come to the realization. We may think we know what will make us happy. We may think we know what is better, but God does.
Right.
He knows what will make you make you happy. And anything he asks you to do or not to do, he does it for your good and for his glory. What else makes people afraid? They're afraid life is going to be boring. And I'm going to tell you right now, that is just a lie from the pit of hell. Because when you live with God as your guide, I tell you, that's a life of great adventure.
Right.
It's a life of great adventure. Why else do people want to make that commitment? Well, they say, well, you know, I have to work. I have work to do that I must concentrate on. So I can't do that all the time. I have to work. I got stuff I have to do. You know, we all have that. We all have to work. So what can you do? Well, I remember when I taught elementary music. Well, you know, I can't be meditating on the truths of God's word when I'm singing little songs with the kids or when I'm teaching a lesson about music. But you know what I can do? What I did? I'd pray before I began the day. I'd pray over my classroom. I would pray when I was planning the lessons, Lord, help me to plan these right lessons. You know, I'm not teaching about faith and hope and love. I'm teaching about the beat and the meter and stuff like that. But I'm asking, Lord, help me plan this out in a way that's pleasing you. Lord, let me, and then when the day was over and I was through teaching, I would say, Lord, thank you for helping me to be a good teacher today. I want to do a good job for you. That's allowing God to be part of your life. That's living in his presence. So how do we practically live in God's presence? I tell you, there are these three little bitty verses of scripture all back to back that will help you to practically live this out. And if you've been in this church very long, you have them memorized and you don't even know it. But it's 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning with verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What's God's will? That we learn to rejoice all the time, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in everything. We need to form the habit of continually talking with God all throughout the day, telling him what is happening, seek his guidance in everything. What's that question that we learned about Sunday? Lord, what do you want me to do?
Yes, yes.
So I did that when I was teaching them. Lord, what do you want me to do? How am I supposed to lay these lesson plans out? Lord, what do you want me to do? I've got all these musicals I've got to plan. When I would go pick them out, I would say, hey, Lord, show me what musicals you want me to do this year. Just stuff like that. But whatever your job is, that was my job back then. But whatever your job is, let's seek the Lord. You know, you're working on the computer. Okay, Lord, what do I need to do now? I'm stuck. You know, and he can show you those things. Or if you're working outside work, whatever it is, include him in everything. Think about God as often as you can, day and night, in everything you do, because he's always with you. You know, wouldn't it be rude if you had a friend visiting you and just ignored him? Why would we be disrespectful to God by abandoning his presence and not thinking about him? So let's don't forget him. Let's think about him often. Think about him all the time. You know, like when you're driving. Oh, it's so important. Let God be in the car right there with you. We need his help in this world that we live in, because there's all kinds of crazy stuff happens when you drive. And, you know, I was driving the other day, and I was in traffic and stuff, and it was really, really bad. And I was going to get over, you know, and I was trying to get in before the freeways were switching around and stuff. And I thought, no, I need to be careful. I looked, and there was the car. The Lord just kept me from having a terrible wreck. It kind of shook me up a little bit. Well, I need to slow down and be careful and not hurry like he tells me to when I drive. I tend to not want to do that. I got to learn to settle down and relax and not hurry when I drive. And the Lord protected me that day. But, you know, when we're driving, we need to let the Lord guide and direct, go with him. I mean, play some praise and worship music. That's an awesome time to do that. Or preaching. That's also good. What about when something good, I'm talking about, don't forget about him and think about him often. What about when something good happens in your day? Your first thought needs to be, thank you, Lord. Aren't we supposed to thank him, right? Yes. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all things. Something good happens, thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you. Or if something bad happens, what should you do, Lord? Lord, I just pray that you would just help me with this, Lord. Help me have the right attitude. I was driving, and I was in a hurry. And, I mean, have you ever been driving and everything went wrong? You missed every light. Everything went wrong. And went as long as it could take to get from point A to B, that's what happened. And in the middle of it, I thought, you know, I said, Lord, I don't want to get all upset and cranky over this. Help me to have the right attitude. Help me, Lord, just to relax. And then he calmed me down. And then it was okay. It still took me the same amount of time. But you know what? I still got everything done that I needed to. Because that's the way God is. We need to not forget about him. You know, here's another time, don't forget about the Lord. Have you ever remembered at the last minute to do something you had forgot about doing? Have you ever been there? Did you take the credit for remembering that? Or did you give God the credit for reminding you? Give God the credit for the good things that happen in your life. I know there's been lots of times God was trying to get my attention to get me to do something, but I was too busy to listen. And because I was too busy to listen, that thing that he was trying to talk to me about, it took me way longer. It cost me a whole lot more time than if I had just listened to him and did what he was trying to tell me to do. You know, we're not supposed to ignore our responsibilities in life, because Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, we're supposed to do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. So we want to do our best for our God. But I want to encourage you, when you're working and all through your day, every once in a while, take a few moments throughout the day to just rest in his presence, especially when it's hectic. Just take a moment. Think, oh, Lord, I love you. You are good to me. And you know what that does? It refreshes your spirit and your soul. It gives you strength and a peace inside, and then you can go about your 90 mile an hour you're going trying to get everything done. But it gives you strength. If you'll just take moments, just a few moments, it doesn't have to be half an hour or even 5 minutes, just a minute, sit and think about the Lord. Living in God's presence is all about including him in every decision you make, thanking him for every good thing that happens, and just realizing he is the shade at my right hand. And you know what happens when you learn to live this way? The result is that when trials come your way, you can have a peace and joy inside, knowing that he's right there with you and he will get you through it. You have a greater faith and you learn to recognize his voice. Because when trials and troubles come, and they will, it's so wonderful when you can recognize and know his voice, what to do. Well, about 3 weeks ago, I went in to have a couple of MRIs done. And then when the results came back, it came back that they discovered a lesion on the pituitary gland, which is at the base of your brain. And my doctor called me back and said, well, we need you to go back in, and we need to have a MRI of your brain. and to look at this, because that was they recommended, because we need to know what this is and what's going on. Of course, you know, what do? You get online between now and then, you read about what that means. And it could be serious. Many times it's not, but it could be serious. And I have to tell you, it just knocked me down for a couple of days. I was just pretty, you know,
yep.
It knocks you down. And so Mark and I, we prayed about it together, and I scheduled another MRI, and I went in for that MRI, and, you know, I said, I've been praying all night, okay, Lord, we've prayed, and I'm trusting you, and I was aware, you know, he was with me, and so I went in to have the MRI, and, you know, as I'm laying on this table, I had a technician on either side of me. I had this one over here that was, I had to have with and without contrast, which means you got to get stuck for the needle in there to put stuff in your arm. But then I had another one over here, and then while this one was working on my arm, this one over, this lady was over here, and we were talking, and she said she realized that I'd had cancer before, and I said, yeah, and, you know, and she had cancer as well, and I could tell because she had lost all her hair. She had lost all her hair. You could tell because she had one of those toboggans on, I had experienced that. I told her, well, you know, I lost all my hair and it all fell out. You know, it grew back. Because I was talking to her about trying to encourage her, you know, it will grow back. And she just had her last treatment the day before I came in. And if you've ever been through chemo, it's that second or third day after that you really get sick, you know. And she was concerned about getting sick. I mean, I could see her stomach was all swollen from the chemo that she'd had and everything. So I was trying to encourage her and everything. And so I get back into this little tube, you know, in there for about 30 minutes, and I'm just, you know, praying and trusting God. And I said, now, Lord, I would sure like to pray for that lady. And so if you want me to, Lord, I ask you to give me the opportunity to be able to do that. Well, the test was over, and I come down, and I get up, and she walks me back to where my stuff is, so it's all locked up, and I get it. And just so happens we're in this little room, and we're all by ourselves. And I said, would you like for me to pray with you? And her face just lit up and says, yes. And so we pray, and I pray for healing, you know, that's her recovery and all that kind of stuff. And then we hugged hugged her before we left. And I could tell it helped her. But it gave me such joy, you know, that I could do that. And so, well, when you have an MRI, it takes about 3 days to get the results back. So, you know, I still don't know what's going to happen. But I just kept saying, Lord, I trust you. I trust you, Lord. I believe you're taking care of me. And I have to tell you that I got to the place in those days, and it just happened. I don't know when it just finally dropped in my heart. I wasn't afraid anymore. And it doesn't matter if it was cancer again or not. I knew I was going to be okay, whatever it was. I mean, I truly, and that's a supernatural thing. You just don't feel that way. But it was a God thing. He just did that for me. And so, about 3 days later, you get the text on the phone that has, you can look at it yourself at home now. So I looked it up. And so anyway, I wrote out what it said. I've got to find it here. Now remember, I had this lesion that was measured a certain amount, a certain size on this pituitary gland. And so this is what it says now, just a few days later. No pituitary lesion identified corresponding to abnormality noted on prior MRI. So see, it's gone. It was there a week later. It's gone. Praise the Lord. And I'm so thankful. You know, sometimes God heals us that way, and it's so great. But sometimes he heals us a different way. We have to walk through something. And he's with you every step along the way. He's just so good. His ways are perfect. He knows what he's doing. What do we have to be afraid of when our God is with us? Living in his presence. The awareness that he's with you right now, that changes your whole perspective on life and how you live. I'm telling you, you're not too old and you're not too young to start practicing living in God's presence. You know, if you want to learn how to play the piano, you got to practice. And you can't practice just one day. You have to practice. The more you practice, the better that you get. And the same with learning to live in God's presence. The more you practice it, the better you get. I've done this in some measure for many years, but I don't know about you. I want to go deeper. I want to learn to dwell in his presence all the time. You know, I put this message off speaking about it for a while because I've been trying to practice doing this, and I failed a lot of times. But I want to encourage you, if you decide to do this, you decide to make a commitment to do this, You might say, to begin your day, okay, God, I'm going to live in your presence all day today. And then things start to happen. And then you find you've got a whole day, you come to the end of the day, you haven't thought about the Lord at all. Not once. And you say, man, I just really messed up. But you know, it takes practice. You can't learn to play the piano in one day. And you're not going to learn to walk in God's presence all the time or dwell in His presence all in one day. We just take it day at a time. God will take you step at a time. He is so patient and so kind. He's so wonderful. You know, last night I blew it really big. I got so mad at my wonderful husband for something stupid. It was silly. It's not even worth mentioning, but I got so mad. And he said, you don't normally get that way. I said, I don't know what's wrong with me. But, you know, we mess up. That's okay. When I fall, I shall arise. And that's the scripture. When we mess up, we get back up. I repented all morning about it, you know. And God's just good. He forgives you and we move on. He's so good. Would you like to make that commitment with me tonight? To start living, to practice living in His presence, to have a life that's focused on Him because you truly love Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You see, the more you're in His presence, the more you'll learn to know who He is. And the more you know Him, the more you'll love Him. And the more you love Him, the more you want to be in His presence. Would you stand with me?